Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
How you doing at home? What's that? I can't hear you. It's good. Nobody's ever said that joke before. Oh my goodness, Rob and I too am excited that today begins the season of Advent, the season of Christmas. Here we go. We get to celebrate Christmas all month long. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And since the beginning of maybe about the 5th century, the Christian church has recognized the four Sundays leading up to Christmas as a season, a special season that we call Advent, a season where we anticipate celebrating the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, and where we also anticipate Jesus coming again. Advent comes from this Latin word that means to come. And, you know, everything sounds better when you use Latin words. So that's why we call the season Advent. It literally means a season of coming, when we celebrate Jesus coming. And the invitation that Jesus extends to us is come and see. Come and see. Come and adore him. Come and behold him, born the King of angels, Christ the Lord. Come and see. Friends, I hope that you will today, if you haven't yet already, purchase one of these books called Come, Let Us Adore Him by Paul David Tripp. These books are available right over here. Two of our elders, Mary and Rob, are going to be selling these for their $10. That's the price of the book. If you prefer to grab one on Amazon, you can do that. But they're also right over here. This is our Advent reader. We're going to be reading this through the month of December. So there's a simple reading. It's one or two pages long for every day in December. And the idea is that by reading this together, we can celebrate and anticipate and hear again the invitation from Jesus to come and see, to come and behold him, the one born in Bethlehem. So please pick up a copy if you haven't yet after the worship service. Friends, let's pray and we'll dive into this great story. Gracious and living God, thank you that you came. That you came to us. That you traveled the distance of the universe to be present with us. That you descended. That you emptied yourself and took on the form of a human. Jesus, thank you that you extend an invitation to us to come and see, to come and see you. Would you help us to hear once again that invitation into a relationship? Open our ears that we might hear. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our hearts that we might receive and respond. We pray this in the name of Jesus who has come. And God's people said, amen. Come and see. If you remember three words today, I hope that these are the three words you will remember. Come and see. John the Baptist says about Jesus, look. In other words, see the Lamb of God. Jesus says to Andrew and another guy who's following him, he says to them, come and see. Philip says to Nathaniel, come and see. The invitation to you and to me is to come and see. It's an invitation that is for skeptics, for sinners, for seekers, and for a whole spectrum of folks. You see what I did there? They all start with S. skeptics, seekers, sinners, and a whole spectrum of other folks. That's who the invitation is for. So we're going to talk about who this invitation is for a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what the invitation is for. First of all, who is it for, and then what is it for? So let's consider these four types of people: skeptics, seekers, sinners, and then everybody else. So first of all, skeptics. Nathaniel. You know, Nathaniel was the original skeptic, and he becomes, as Jericho said, a key player in Jesus' leadership team that literally transformed the whole world. Nathaniel was the original skeptic. You see, Philip had met Jesus of Nazareth, and then he went to tell Nathaniel about him. And Nathaniel's simple response, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? Like, seriously, Nazareth? That dumpy town? He wasn't buying it. He wasn't buying it that Jesus was the Messiah, because Nathanael knew that Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Well, see, Nathanael didn't have the whole story yet, did he? How does Philip respond to Nathanael? I love this. Philip just says to Nathanael, look, man, just come and see. Come and see for yourself. Philip doesn't engage him in an argument. Philip doesn't try to convince him. Philip simply says to Nathanael, the original skeptic, come and see. Take a look for yourself. Look with your own eyes. Once you meet him, I think that your skepticism just might be transformed into a surprising kind of faith. Come and see. Are you skeptical about Jesus of Nazareth? Come and see is the invitation. Are you skeptical about the trustworthiness of the scriptures? Do you find yourself asking the question, can I really trust the Bible? Come and see. Come and meet Jesus. Are you skeptical about the ability of a man who was born and lived and died and resurrected 2,000 years ago? I mean, does he really know and understand what it's like to be a modern human being and all the challenges that we face? Can Jesus actually help us? Come and see. Nathanael did, and it changed the course of his life. Think about that. Nathanael got in on the ground level of the most significant movement in history because he came and saw. So how about you? How about you who are maybe feeling skeptical this morning? Will you RSVP to this invitation? Will you come and see? The invitation is for skeptics. You know, it's for seekers as well. Did you notice those two disciples who started following Jesus around town? One of them was Andrew. We don't know who the other guy was. They just begin following Jesus, wondering about Jesus as they wander behind him. They were seekers. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew they were seeking. And so Jesus turns around in verse 38 and he asks them, what are you looking for? What are you seeking after? What do you want? What about you? Maybe you're a seeker as well this morning. What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you sense is missing? You must sense that something is missing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be seeking something other than what you already have. The two disciples, they respond to Jesus' question, what are you looking for? They respond with this strange question. They ask him, Jesus, where are you staying? Now, I wonder, if you had one question to ask Jesus, if you had one shot, you could get him to answer any question you had. This guy, whom your people have been waiting for all along, the guy whom the prophet John the Baptist has identified as the Lamb of God, you've got one question to ask this man. Would you ask him about his lodging arrangements? I think you might have some better questions than these guys. Notice that Jesus doesn't answer their question. He doesn't tell them where he's staying. He just says, come and see. If you remember three words today, I hope those are the three words you'll remember. Come and see. You see, Jesus wanted to give them what they needed, not just information about his lodging arrangements. Jesus wanted to give these two guys what they needed, not what they wanted or what they were seeking after. And so he invited them to come and to see what it was that they really longed for. Sometimes we're asking, we're seeking for answers to questions that maybe aren't particularly important. Hey, where are you staying, Jesus? And Jesus simply says to us, come. Why don't you come and see? And I love how Jesus is so kind here. He doesn't ridicule them for asking a dumb question. Hey, where are you staying, Jesus? Maybe you're seeking fulfillment, but you haven't discovered something that really satisfies. Jesus simply offers these guys, and he offers us an opportunity to receive something better than what we're actually seeking. Come and see. How about you? Are you a seeker? Maybe you believe in Jesus, but you're seeking more. Maybe you've kind of been going through the motions of church, but you're lacking a sense of flourishing and fulfillment. You haven't discovered what truly satisfies. You're seeking for that which truly satisfies. And to all of you who are seeking, Jesus invites us. Come and see. Will you RSVP to his invitation? So that invitation is for skeptics, it's for seekers, and it's for sinners. Andrew went and found his brother Simon Peter, whom Jesus also called. And we know that Peter would eventually deny even knowing Jesus three times, right? In Jesus' greatest hour of need, Simon Peter denies even knowing him. You see, Peter was a broken man. He was a sinner. And Jesus knew this. And yet Jesus welcomed Simon Peter into his inner circle to share in Jesus' most intimate episodes in his life. Come and see, Peter. There's another sinner that Jesus extends an invitation to a little bit later. It's in John chapter 4 when Jesus is on his way and he comes across Jacob's well in Samaria. Jesus meets a woman there whose reputation in the city is so bad that she has to go to the well at a time of day when there's not going to be anybody else there, right in the heat of the afternoon. We learn that this woman from Samaria has had five husbands, and the man she's with now isn't one of them. Not only does Jesus kindly interact with her and show her mercy, but while they sit next to Jacob's well, Jesus offers her the water of life. The invitation to come and see is for sinners like this woman at Jacob's well. It's for sinners like Peter who turn their backs on Jesus. How about you? Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. Maybe you feel like you're too bad of a sinner, so the invitation can't possibly be for you. The invitation is only for people who basically have it together, and maybe you feel like you don't really have it together. Maybe you come on Sunday mornings and you get yourself together because you want others, including Jesus, to think you've got it together, but deep down you know that you don't really have it all together. You're broken. The invitation is for people like you. Come. Come and see. You see, Jesus knew the truth about this woman at the well. Jesus knew all of her history. And Jesus offers her the water of life because it's people like her who need it. Jesus knew the truth about Simon Peter as well. Jesus knew that Simon would betray him, that Simon Peter would deny even knowing him. Yet Jesus invites him. Come, Peter, come and see. Jesus says in another place that he has come to heal the sick. It's the sick who need a physician, not those who are well. The Samaritan woman's soul was sick. Simon Peter's soul was sick, and Jesus offers them the medicine that they needed. Come and see. The invitation is for you and for me, for sinners. Will you RSVP? And the invitation is for a whole spectrum of folks. Think about the spectrum of personality profiles represented by Simon Peter, James, John, Paul, Luke, Zacchaeus, and Levi. Just briefly, Simon Peter, this guy was a zealot. He was a zealot who was zealous against, he was an anti-establishment guy. He was an anti-Roman government revolutionary who was not opposed to using violence to get his way. Simon Peter is the guy who drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the people who came to arrest Jesus. He was a zealot. James and John, these guys were fishermen. Maybe small business owners. They were your kind of salt of the earth guys. They were today's, I don't know, blue collar workers, middle class guys trying to make a living, trying to provide for their families, looking forward to maybe taking a couple days off so that they can go hunting or rent dune buggies in the desert or something like that. Jesus invites them to come and see. How about the Apostle Paul? That guy was an intellectual. If they were offering PhDs, he would have had one. He was a doctor of philosophy. Luke, who wrote the gospel bearing his name and the Acts of the Apostles, he was a medical doctor. Jesus invites the educated, the intellectuals, the philosophers, and the sophisticated people to come and see. Levi was another tax collector who ripped off people, hardworking folk, in order to pad his own bank account. We know Levi as Matthew, one of the original 12 disciples and the author of the first gospel. Last week we heard from Tanner about Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. This guy really ripped people off. He was a slimy swindler. And yet Jesus invites him to come and see, doesn't he? So how about you? Whether you're a skeptic or a sinner or a seeker or simply one of these wide variety of personalities that Jesus invites in, will you respond to the invitation? Will you RSVP? Come and see. The invitation is for you. Well, what happens if we do? What happens if we do RSVP? What do we see when we come? Well, we see that we've been invited into a relationship with Jesus, in which we make at least four discoveries. At least four discoveries. We discover rest. We discover that we are known and still loved. That's amazing. We discover our true identity. And fourth, we discover our kind of meta purpose is to share these discoveries with others. So let's talk about these four discoveries: rest, being known, identity, and sharing these discoveries with others. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus' invitation to those who need rest. I think this is maybe the most significant need for today's young families. I see young families who are weary. I see many young families who are dual income or single parent households, and they're weary. They carry the heavy burden of providing opportunities for their children, or they carry the unnecessary burdens of comparing themselves to the Joneses. But whether those burdens are necessary or not, they lead to weariness. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Come to me. I see retired folks who are caring for declining parents. I see that they are exhausted from doctor's appointments, from dealing with dementia, and from the drama that this often causes families. The weariness that comes from doing the best that you can to care, but knowing that there's nothing you can really do to stop the decline. Come to me, says Jesus. Are you tired from that? Come to me and I'll give you rest. I see working professionals who are thankful that they still have a job, but who are working extra hard to keep that job. And they're tired. I see worry in those eyes, and I hear worry in those voices, and I wonder if Jesus isn't issuing these tired working professionals the same invitation that he issued to his disciples after one particularly long day. Jesus says to them, "Come away. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a little while." That's in Mark chapter 6. You see, when we RSVP to this invitation to come and see, we discover rest that our soul craves and needs. We also discover that we're known. We discover that we're known and still loved. When the Samaritan woman meets Jesus at Jacob's well, she discovers that she's fully known, right? Jesus knows all about her five husbands and this guy she's living with that isn't one of them. And at first glance, it seems a little bit rude, doesn't it, that Jesus would bring this up? It seems like Jesus is doing what everyone else was doing to this woman, shaming her. But this is not the case at all. Think about this for just a moment. Consider, if Jesus had not brought up her past, imagine if Jesus would not have brought up the topic, and he still offers her this living water, and she goes home. Would she not have gone home thinking to herself, "Jesus offered me living water, but if he knew the truth about me, if he knew where I'd been and what I've done, he wouldn't have offered it to me. If Jesus really knew me, he wouldn't have been so kind." Of course, that's what she would have been thinking. But Jesus eliminates that possibility, and he shows her everything she's ever done. And then he still offers her this living water. You see, when we RSVP to Jesus' invitation to come and see, we discover that we're known and still loved. We also discover our true identity. Maybe you've noticed that both Jericho and I have referred to the Apostle Peter as Simon Peter. That's because Peter's given name is Simon. Jesus actually gives Simon a new name, the name Peter. In John 1, verse 42, Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus, who looked right into Simon's eyes, and Jesus said this to him. He said, "You are Simon, son of John." You see, Jesus knows us. He knows our stories. "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. When we RSVP to Jesus' invitation, we discover who we really are. We're given this new identity, which is really our true identity. Simon discovered that he really was Peter, which means rock, and it was upon this rock that Jesus was going to build his church. There would be some hiccups along the way, you know, the whole denial thing. But Peter's identity as the foundation of the church to come was set in stone. It's who he was. It's who he was becoming in Jesus. It was Peter's new identity. And when you and I respond to Jesus' invitation to come and see, we discover our true identity. Maybe we even get a new name. That used to be a tradition in the church. When you would get baptized, you would get a new name. Maybe we should bring that back. We also discover that our kind of meta purpose is to share our discoveries. What does Andrew do after he meets Jesus? Listen again in verses 40 and 41. "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" You see, Andrew sought out Simon and in not so many words said to Simon, "Come and see, brother. Come and see the one our hearts have been longing for all along." After Andrew met Jesus, his first instinct, his first response was to tell somebody about it, to share what he had discovered, to share who he had discovered.
What does Philip do after Philip meets Jesus? Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found the one about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." This is when Nathanael says, "Seriously, man, can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip says to him, "Come and see." Philip responds to meeting Jesus by sharing his discovery. Come and see. What does the Samaritan woman whom Jesus met at the well, what does she do after that encounter? John 4, verses 28 and 29, listen to this. "Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?'" This Samaritan woman is often called the very first evangelist, and I love her evangelistic strategy. Just come and see for yourself. You don't think he could be the Messiah, do you? Maybe you should check it out. Andrew, Philip, and the Samaritan woman all do what Jesus meant when he said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." All of these people, when they met Jesus, became fishers of women and men. And how did they do that? They simply shared their discoveries, and they said to others the same thing that Jesus had said to them. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. I love that these people don't get trained in theological arguments or how to make a good apology for Jesus, or they don't go to seminary. They don't get trained. I mean, some of those things are great things, but they're not necessary in order to share the discovery that you have made in Jesus. In fact, I would argue these are some of the least qualified people. Imagine the Samaritan woman who was at the well in the middle of the day. Remember, why was she at the well in the middle of the day? Because people didn't like her. They didn't trust her. They made fun of her. They shamed her. And this is the woman who goes into the town and begins sharing. "Come and see a man who told me everything." Simon Peter, that dude was a fisherman. I don't think fishermen get trained on how to share the gospel. He just had an encounter with Jesus and began to share. My favorite Christmas song is O Come Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. David, I know you're listening, so maybe we'll hear that song sometime soon, right? O Come Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. It's a cry for the living God to come and set his people free from captivity. Come, Lord, come and ransom your people who have been led into captivity. But it's kind of an ironic tune. It's ironic because in the song, we call the living God Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. Why would we sing, "O God who is with us, come to us"? If God is with us, why would we sing, O come"? He's already with us. He has already come. That is who he is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the good news. The invitation to you and to me is to come and to see, to come to Jesus and to see Jesus. But Jesus, we discover, has already come to us. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, as John puts it in chapter 1. Jesus has already come. We simply need to open our eyes to see and behold him, to open our minds to know him, and to open our hearts to love and receive him. So friends, just three words today. The invitation into a relationship. Come and see the one who has come, Emmanuel, born the King of Angels, Christ the Lord. Come and see. Let's pray. Jesus, you are beautiful. You are good. You are faithful. You are present. You are so kind and merciful and patient. And we see that played out as you interact with Philip and Andrew and Simon Peter and the Samaritan woman at the well. Would you open our eyes that we might see you more clearly this season? Would you open our minds that we might know you more deeply this season? And would you open our hearts that we might receive you? Because you have come to us. Jesus, we love you because you love us with a kind of reckless abandon. You emptied yourself, gave everything up so that you could love us with everything that you have. Help us to know and love you with that same kind of abandonment. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. And it's in your name that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.